Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So we have been in the season of Lent, and particularly we've been living into the parables, the short stories that Jesus used for instruction and for giving illustrations about what this life of faith can look like. And today our journey continues as we read from the Gospel according to Luke. I invite you to stand as you are able in a posture of praise as we receive the good news of Christ this morning through the spoken word. I'll be reading from the 18th chapter, verses 9 through 14. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. If you will, please be seated. I promise I'm not sick. Anybody else dealing with pollen and allergies? So let me take a drink of water and then we'll get started. My goodness. I was like, Kelsey's like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "I got a frog in my throat." Will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, as we draw nearer to the holiest of weeks that has shaped lives of so many of your beloved people, this day, as we continue to hear the words and teachings of Jesus, may it stir within us a truth that we might not yet realize, or a truth that we know but aren't ready to admit openly. So God, pour your spirit upon us, to our hearts and our minds, that we may hear with fresh ears what you would have us hear this day. May the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So it has been an absolute joy to do something a little bit different for spiritual formation during the season of Lent. When we began this season on Ash Wednesday with the imposition of ashes upon our foreheads to remind us, from dust we came, to dust we shall return, and we make this journey through the wilderness with Jesus, ultimately leading to his death upon the cross, we don't jump immediately to the resurrection on Easter, because we have to sit in this season of the wilderness, knowing that our lives are similar to this journey, with the ups and downs, the valleys, the highs and the lows, and the uncertainties of what is going to come next. So we've been living into this season of listening to the parables, recognizing that there are things that we still need to learn in the midst of the wilderness, that Jesus' instruction to those closest to him often caused confusion and, "Hey, can you explain this to us," right? And so often we forget that the parables would have been spoken in terms that people would have understood, using everyday illustrations and context. But the real explanations came in smaller settings when the disciples were able to ask Jesus, "What exactly did you mean by that? What did that look like?" And we got to experience a little bit of that on Tuesday nights. The women have been journeying through the season of Lent, of reflecting on what's been preached on Sunday and talking about it on Tuesday, and then preparing for the next parable to come on Sunday. And we have talked a lot about, what does this mean? And particularly, what does it mean to us from a social justice perspective. I think something that we've seemed to not always keep in the forefront of our minds is that Methodism was never intended to be a new denomination. It was not a faith tradition that was established out of protest. Rather, it was a new expression of reform within the Church of England to be a renewal movement, to force the people who claimed this faith to live their lives in tangible ways into the community. And so John Wesley, who was one of the founders of Methodism, said, "There is no holiness except social holiness." Meaning that the transformative work of God is not just for the individual, it is also intended for the community of the gathered people and for the community in which people of faith interact with in all the moments of their lives. Because they saw the needs that children needed to be educated, health care needed to be available. People who worked 7 days a week were not being spiritually nurtured in their faith. And so John Wesley went out and said, "I will preach to the world. The world is my parish," right? This proclamation of the good news of Jesus. And so Jesus continues this proclamation by giving us this illustration. And friends, we have to pay attention to the context because Jesus had come to bring about social holiness to those who, one, were part of the religious community, or two, hadn't found their way in yet. So he told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Luke very specifically sets this parable up in a way for us to see two categories of individuals. Now, I do want a disclaimer and say when we see two categories or binaries, we are missing a full swath of beauty in between, right? It's not an either or this or that, but rather where is the point of connection between these two situations that Jesus is sharing? And so we have two men who go into the temple. So that would be two of us who come into Holly Springs UMC to worship. And there is one who is standing, you know, right here front and center and saying, "I am righteous. I tithe every week a tenth of my income and I pray and I am not like that person." And there is a person sitting in the far back corner of the sanctuary saying, "I don't know that I belong here, but God have mercy upon me." Can you see that? Do you feel that? That's the dynamic to which Jesus is talking. And so we see these two types of individuals. And then it leads into this, those who humble themselves will receive the gift of righteousness. And those who think they are righteous will be humbled. There's this shift in elevation or position, right? And it makes me think about the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. And we see this illustrated in the life of Jesus because Jesus was willing to take upon all of the sins and brokenness of the world, to feel all of the things that human beings feel every moment, and was willing to take that on, even as the Son of God. So there's this distinction. And I think one of the things that we want to do is be able to say, point out these two groups of people and say, well, they're doing it right and they're doing it wrong. But it would be very easy to say, well, that person's doing it right and that person's doing it wrong. That we often find ourselves in a place where we want to pass judgment and say, you know, I identify with this side and I don't want to be over there. Or I really find myself over here and I don't know how to get there. Do you know what I mean? But here is a twist in the parable. And I want y'all to focus in on this because something that I've had to think about is this aspect. The Pharisee, despite the words that came out of his mouth, was standing alone in the temple. Did you hear that? The Pharisee who had all of these words was standing alone in the temple where so many were gathered to worship and offer praise to God. And the tax collector, who would have been considered a sinner in the gospel, was also standing alone in the temple where others had gathered together. Both individuals are standing alone and apart from the body gathered there. Have you ever thought about that piece? What is it that caused them or led them to feeling disconnected from the community? What was it that made them feel like they were not part of the bigger part, and they were trying to justify themselves as to why they were finding themselves in the positions that they were in? Well, I'm a part because I'm righteous and I'm offering my tithe, right? And yet I'm still alone. I'm not deserving of the mercy of God, and yet I am still alone. Friends, when we are feeling lonely or set apart from God or from one another, it means that we invite the gift of God's grace into that space to receive the gift of God's mercy and cling to the hope that that is not the end of that situation. That is not the end of our story, that there is something that will bring us more fully into the community of God. It is by grace that we become connected. Grace that connects us to God and grace that connects us to one another. There is this need for interconnectedness to bring everyone into the fold of God so that we can experience the fullness of the kingdom of God. That we can experience the goodness and the mercy of God in a way that is transformative, not only individually, but as a community. And that is only possible through faith in Christ. Every week, I say we can look out into the world and see places of division, separation and brokenness and loneliness and harm and hurt. And I am so inundated by all of those images that I think, what is it that I can do to make a difference in that? And we did. We had a conversation. What is my responsibility for acknowledging and seeing and trying to make repair in all of these places? And here's the truth. One person cannot do it all. But one person can do some things. And the next person can do other things. And so forth, until we are all doing the small things that add to a larger story of interconnectedness and truth. That is us participating in what God is already doing. That we are not alone from God, that we are not separated from God, that we are not alone or isolated from one another, but we are connected to one another and we share in the responsibility of participating in the holiness meant for all of God's people. Interconnectedness matters. Naming those places where we feel separation matters. Taking those small necessary steps to receive the gift of God's grace and God's mercy brings us closer to God and to one another. So maybe in this season of Lent, we've committed to taking that one small step. And then we take the next small step. And then we create this beautiful web of God's grace and love in the world where no one will feel like they are not apart, where no one will feel alone or separated And our righteousness is not determined by what we do, but rather by who we are and by whose we are and who we are together. Are we all sinners? Yes. Do we all fall short of the glory of God? Yes. Are we all offered the free gift of God's grace, that is not the end of our story? Yes. Are all recipients of the mercy of God? Yes. Thanks be to God for love and grace and mercy that leads us to this beautiful yes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.